Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
I feel like I started really quiet there. Like I was, who was the lady that used to do the like nighttime radio?
Delilah.
Oh, Delilah.
Delilah.
I always think of like the bathtub when I think
with like
of
some
her.
Candles, like setting the mood.
Yeah, with Delilah.
But she's not Dr. Ruth talking. She just has this really soothing
voice.
But
she gave advice, right, on relationships.
She did.
Stuff.
Yeah, you could call in.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, am I the asshole, but not the same.
Yeah. Do you think that was a precedent for the I am the asshole type Reddit stuff, is the things like Delilah and Dr. Ruth?
I think so, because essentially they were asking, am I the asshole, without saying, am I the asshole?
I used to love some Dr. Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
She was like real.
Yeah, she didn't got time for anybody's BS.
She did not.
No filter. Very open.
Yeah, I wasn't really a Maury person because I never understood the how do you not know who your baby daddy is?
You
don't know
I
who your baby daddy is?
I know who my baby daddies are. Goodness gracious.
I was just curious where we were going here.
No. Shut up.
Reminds me of that song. Like
who's your daddy?
No, the baby daddy song. And she's like,
what baby? I don't know a baby daddy song.
Like they use it like on TikTok all the time because like how many baby daddies do you have?
Oh yeah,
I have ellipses. One daughter.
Yeah, yeah,
just one. I live a boring life apparently.
I have just one daughter. So how many baby daddies do you have? That is a funny little TikTok trend. I do like that.
That is true.
So we're back. It's Wednesday night. We are back with one of our Sip and Discuss book club styled episodes. Quick disclaimer. We will spoil this book.
Yeah.
We will spoil it. So if you are listening and just looking for a review, you're going to want to wait till the end when we give our thumbs up, thumbs down, and go from there.
Or read the book first.
Or read the book first and then come back and listen. And it's interesting because I know Leah has thoughts. Jenny, you had read this previous. Did you reread it for the episode?
I did reread.
Okay. So I'll be curious to see how your feelings are as a reread. Okay, Leah, tell us all the things.
Okay, so we did Camera Shy by Kay Cove. It is part of the Lessons in Love series. The release date is July 27th, 2023. The themes and tropes, it's neighbors to lovers. There's body positivity, self-love journey, curvy, insecure female main character, a praise kink hero. I can do air quotes. You all can see me.
Yeah.
Act like a queen. There's sex lessons in teacher-student dynamic, but not really, but kind of.
Right.
A business exchange. It's just a romantic bargain. There's no cash, like for cash here. Dual first-person point of view. The hero is healing from a toxic relationship. She saves his career. He builds her confidence. Lots of ex-drama on both sides. Summer fling and potential heartbreak. It was done by Lee Samuels and Heather Firth, and you can find it in Kindle Unlimited, and the audio is Audible exclusive, and content trigger warnings, body image issues, and some fat phobia.
I listened to the audiobook and I really did enjoy it. I like Lee Samuels. I think he does a really good job. And this was my first time with Heather Firth, and I really, really enjoyed her audio narration. It is done in duet styling. So she reads her chapters, he reads his chapters.
How did that go? Because you don't always like duet.
I don't like duel. Well, no, this is duel, not duet.
I was going to say.
Duel. Yeah, I get them so mixed up.
Duet, like they talk amongst each other.
The one I'm editing right now is duet. And I'm on a little bit of a struggle bus, but it's okay. It's okay. I did like and enjoy this audiobook. This was a long book.
It is long.
And I did end up speeding it up to get through it. But I don't know if that was just me because, you know, life is life in around this house right now.
Yeah. No, it was long.
It was long.
It was long.
How many pages is it?
466 or something like that.
Well, yeah.
Maybe 416. Let me look.
I was like, I thought it was like 4:30-ish, somewhere around there.
But yeah, I'm like the odd man out. I don't mind a long book if it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you read Penny Reed's tomes of 700 pages.
446.
There we go.
Yeah.
Do you have any like first initial impressions like from The Hook that to kind of state how you feel about this reading this book? Do you have like a one statement thought? It was sexy. I will say, these people did it a lot.
Yeah, it took them a little bit.
Like 20%. By like 19%. 19%, he's eating her.
So here's the thing. The first like 15% really drug on for me. I had a hard time with that. It was like nothing was really, like things were happening, but nothing was happening at the same time.
I wish that she hadn't had, okay. So this is kind of editor Becky. I wish that the engagement scene wasn't there. I wish that had been told in flashbacks or in conversation in segmented. I didn't need the author to show me all of that.
See, I didn't or mind tell me it. All of I just that. Felt like it was too drawn out.
I think it would have been a better converse. I think the book would have hooked in faster if it started with them in the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could definitely tell the engagement story and just like quick, like he said this and he did this. And yeah, you wouldn't have needed.
And you still could have had all the other man drama, like him trying to peek in and out of her life.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
There was a lot of repetition. So if we had started the book at the driveway, like how did you get to Vegas kind of moment, I feel like it would have read faster.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I feel like that there was a lot of that through the book, though. Like there was like sections where like they had purpose to them, but they were just too long.
Yeah. So, Jenny, and I'm curious your thoughts, because you tend to be a little bit more feminist than Leah and I.
A little attacked at that statement.
Well, she's a little more outspoken about it. And it's not a bad thing. That's why we have Jenny here.
No, it's not.
So he does have, he's very macho.
He is.
He's very masculine, almost toxically masculine. How did he come off and their dynamic come off? Because like it was hot when she masturbates for him, right? It's hot when he eats her out in the closet. All of those things. I just wish that it had been more of that than him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what was your thought on, so our hero's name is Finn, the hot neighbor.
Right. Yes, Finn and Avery. I like drew more towards the like common theme of like them both being judged by the outward appearance. Because there's a part where he says like he's not fit because like he wants to look that way. It's like a byproduct of his coping mechanism.
He doesn't want to be
bother me. Much.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be the overly attractive guy because the wealth in his name already work against him.
Right, and his dad used his looks to screw women.
Screw women.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I mean, his dad was a hoe and constant women in and out of his life and cheated on his mother.
On everybody.
Yeah.
He's like a serial, like,
So it did make sense, like,
yeah,
but I just felt like there were times where I'm like, oh, this dynamic's a little weird.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of focus on like him and the way he looks, and
there was a lot of like, it was more physical than emotional and like mental in some ways, but I mean, she did have like the the insecure, like mental, like thought process a lot too, which I thought it was a little repetitive in the way that she did that. Like I was kind of,
Avery's internal dialogue. Yeah.
yeah, overall, I don't mind Avery, but at the same time, like I was kind of over her and her at this, you know what I mean?
So first of all, I don't think that she's as plus size. I think that she falls more in line with the character from last week. So curvy.
Curvy.
14, 16, boobs, butt, thigh, but not heavy. And I think that's fine. I think that that's, I have zero issues with that.
Yeah, she was buying swimsuits from Target without, like, she
Without
had them
question,
shipped to the
yeah.
house.
Well,
Yeah,
and there's a
so.
scene where he puts her on top right there in the beginning,
Yeah.
and she's holding herself up. If you're a heavier person with larger thighs and a bigger butt, holding yourself up can be very difficult. Like, you got to hold on to something and you got to, hope and pray
You
you,
need some leverage or
well, and you
something.
don't get a leg cramp, is all I'm saying. Particularly if you're on the heavier side, it can happen depending on how, fit you are. And she talks about not being fit. She
Yeah,
doesn't go
she's
to the
not. She,
gym.
yeah, like she talks
So,
about how like she works out from like the bed. Like that's
yeah.
her workout. Like making her bed is her workout.
So, and I felt like her internal dialogue, yes, it does get repetitive. But there are moments where it feels really true to the self, to that situation. Because, I mean, we as all women doubt ourselves. We all have, like, does this make my butt look big? Or, can you see my rolls on my back or whatever? Like, it's very real. So I did like that part of it, but it does feel repetitive. Like, at some point, love your body or tell yourself
Yeah,
something good
I
about
think
yourself.
it worked for me because she's coming off of that breakup that's like been for so long, so she, her whole image was wrapped up in her relationship with Mason and
Well, and I will say, like, as the book progresses, she like seems like she like sh there's an ebb and flow. Like she'll
yeah.
be doing well, and then something will be said, or she will hear something, or like he at one point like talks about how he's content, and it's like a trigger word, and it like throws her into this downward spiral of chaos. And so like it that's why like it doesn't bug me, but it bugged me at the same time, because it was one of those things where like she was like in a good headspace, and then it was like something simple would throw her off, which is very realistic though at the same time. But also like the picture thing, like we never got like the real backstory of what happened. Like we know something happened when she was like in junior high, but like there's no like deep,
continuity,
well,
an
it's just
untied
like,
thread.
but what exactly happened because of this picture? Like, what was the picture? How was it taken? Like, we get that it was a picture taken there, but I like, we don't see the aftermath of that. Like, was it plastered everywhere? Like, did somebody take like this unflattering picture and then like blow it up and like show it off? Like, I needed, it just seemed like I hate getting my picture taken. I don't like looking at pictures of me, but like it's one of those things where it doesn't send me into like a spiral and I refuse to do it. You know what I mean? But if
Yeah.
there was
Well, and
like
I
a.
think it's harder to avoid like now than it was like say when our moms were,
Well, because
like our
we still had
age.
film cameras and
Yeah.
but
Still,
maybe that picture was fuzzy, so you didn't even get
I mean,
it.
there are tons of pictures. Well, we recently just I went through some pictures on Monday with everything that happened, and there are tons of pictures of Mike and the dog. Tons of pictures of Sydney and the dog. Christopher does not like his picture taken. So there's not as many Christopher and the dog, and there were not many of Becky and the dog. It wasn't my dog, but you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I think there still is the stereotype that women don't like their picture taken. We are caught up in, a lot of times we're the picture taker still.
Yes, I think it's just harder to avoid
Yeah.
now.
But I just wanted more like backstory of like the reason of the catalyst, because it seemed like a big moment in her
Right.
life and we didn't quite get the full story of it.
Well, and I think there were lots of untied threads. There were not giant plot holes, but there were threads that were used in different moments that we never really tied up with.
They weren't fleshed out.
They kind of left us hanging a little bit.
In 446 pages, you should be able to flesh those out.
I mean, true story. I did find Finn. So I think Finn is an absolute perfection beta hero.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a cinnamon roll. Mm-mm. He is definitely not an alpha because while he is indulgent, I think he's subservient to women. I think that she easily could have wrote Avery a little bit more of a dominatrix.
But I feel like Finn would have been fine as a sub. If he was an alpha, the relationship with Nora would have played out differently. Like if he was a true alpha.
Yeah. But he does come off a little bit of as a doormat.
Yeah,
like he went the complete opposite of his dad so much that it was detrimental.
Well, but at the same time, like he, like when he's in this relationship, though, he almost is his dad, but he's in a not like a committed relationship. But like, since she wants these other people in, like it makes it okay. And I'm not saying if that is the kind of thing that you indulge in, like that's fine if that's what you want to do. But like the way that he talks, it's almost out of character for the fact that like he wants to be with like one person in a good relationship, but he is like continually like in all of these threesomes like while he's in this relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like it just doesn't, it's an inconsistency with the way like he comes across.
And I do think that there were some good swoony moments, but I did feel, and I think it's because we don't get tons of her, I mean we get like her current relationship backstory, but we don't really get a lot of character growth and true emotion from her. And so at the end of this book, it feels more of an HFN than an HEA. Like, I think that they have to do a lot. Like, you should get couples counseling before you're even officially a couple. Like, you two need to, because like, you know,
yeah, they got issues.
Even if we look at like that masturbation scene where she's saying she couldn't finish because she needed some kind of grounding, you know, other connection. And she doesn't request it. She says it like, oh, I need you to say it, but it doesn't have to mean anything.
Yeah.
She really wanted true connection, true relationship with him, but she never asks for it clearly.
Right.
And it was like, okay. And see, I wondered if that bothered you a little bit, Jenny.
It did. Like the first time I read this book, I definitely got to the end and was just like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I am not sure about these people.
Like, is this that, you know, last week Lindsay brought up the trend of, are these two people that would be divorced later on in life? And if they don't need counseling, I'm going to go with a yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I could see them be like the kind of people that are divorced, but still like
friends,
do things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do things together. Like they're like their spouses would be friends with each other. And yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say the spice level, the dirty talk was superior.
Mm-hmm.
He was really great at... So this author can write the spice. Yeah. She can write the dirty talk. I actually think that her... Like, her praise kink, her dirty talk was actually, I think, better written than even some of what Sarah Kate has written, which a lot of people use Sarah Kate as, like, the height of, the, like, the praise kink. I think Kay Cove wrote decent dirty talk. Like, it was good.
Well, and it wasn't out of place either. Like, it, because it, from the get-go, like, first encounter, like, you know he's going hard in the dirty talk world.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of it too, is sometimes we get books where like it seems almost out of character with the way that they do it, but with him it didn't at all.
And I will say, I kind of liked Queen as a change of pace versus Baby Girl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was a way of him like showing and like telling her like you are more than you think you are. Like he's elevating her to that status, and it's like because even princess would not have been as good of a word here. Yes.
Well, she was a whole ass adult with a very successful business and a very successful reputation. Yeah. To call her baby girl or good girl or princess.
Well, he threw some good girls in there, but
not many. I think he really went mostly with Queen, didn't he?
Here, I'll,
yeah. I'll, Queen's, I'll yeah, like search. Queen is his.
I felt like Queen was
all the time. Yes. Yeah,
it was like the standard
nickname. That was in and out of the bedroom.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Avery's insecurity did feel a little over the top.
So. Good girl was used 20 times.
Okay.
Throughout the book. So
it didn't feel like that much.
But because they were well placed. And I think that's the key. Like it wasn't overdone and they were well placed good girls.
So I do think we need to talk about the last 20% of this book.
I was wondering when it was
going to
come
up. I wanted to give it a fair beginning.
Chat. A fair
diagnostic, a story, the beats of the
before
romance.
Before we lose our ever-loving minds.
I will say, I do believe Kay Cove is an excellent writer. She understands the romance beats. Is she overly repetitive? Is she overly
wordy?
Absolutely. But I think if you look at a Catherine Mara style writing and book, she is absolutely on par.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Dirty Lucy score, so to speak. You know, it's long. Yeah. It's overly insightful. Yeah. It's definitely repetitive.
Well, and that's the thing. The book is structured well. The editing is done well.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of book.
It's a lot of book. But this last 20% felt like... a completely different book.
Oh my God.
Okay, Leah. And okay, so
first off, I actually was reading some of the reviews today just out of curiosity. And I agree. Like, I liked Lennox. Like, she was a good friend. And then she invites her to that stupid birthday party where it's like she knows he has banged like half the people at this party. And so, like, she also knows that Avery has these hangups. Why would you send a girl who is like, real bodied, banging your cousin to a place where you know he has like banged everybody there, first off, where the ex-girlfriend is going to be.
But see, I think this was Lennox's way of testing her.
Yeah, but
and her true feelings.
And she does, like, she does stay consistent. Like, she invites him to like everything she goes through, like, throughout the book.
This is true. And I'm not saying that I think she was wrong, but it bugged me a little bit too. But I think it's because there was no, like, there was no warning.
Talk beforehand?
No talk, yes. Well, and that's something that bugged me too, okay? So he, like, throughout the book, Finn talks, like, wants, like, Avery to talk about things, like, how she's feeling, how she's doing, like, all these things. Like, he wants, like, her history and all this stuff. But anytime she asks him a question, he doesn't actually answer the question. Like, have you had threesomes? Well, it's complicated. What the fuck kind of answer is that? Yes or no? Like, dude, you had a foursome. Like, clearly, because Lennox mentions it and you stated it. And, like, clearly it's something that happened a lot. So that bugged me because, like, he needed her to talk about stuff, but he was very evasive about things.
Yeah.
But I will say, when she's at the birthday party before the scene with Cass, which I thought was out of place and weird, but that's neither here nor there. I did appreciate how Avery took like charge of herself to a point, which I did like that. But then that the Cass scene happened and she's like, maybe I can do this and I'm going to kiss this girl because she's basically fondling me. And I just was like, no, I don't like that part.
Yeah. So, Jenny, what were your thoughts on the last 20%?
But wait, there is more. But I'll get
there
to that.
There is more. Yeah. Like
okay, well, let's do Jenny first, then we'll go back to yours.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Like, okay, so the first time I thought something was up with her best friend Palmer.
I hate Palmer. Hate her.
Right?
But I will tell you, as a fat woman, all of us have a Palmer in our friendship. The one that things are going really well for you, and then Palmer comes in and
shits all over it,
is the bucket of cold water that reminds you of your insecurities, drags you back to your state, will casually mention that they were invited somewhere that you were not, you know, you question, but it's a friend you can't quit because you've been friends for forever.
But you're their fluffer. I told you this earlier.
Yeah.
Like you fluff them.
Yeah.
But they don't fluff you.
But they need you to be their friend so that they look better.
Well, it makes them feel better about themselves too, because, hey, I have a fat friend.
I have a fat friend, but also the guys aren't going to look at the fat friend. They're going to look at the skinny friend.
But
then I'm doing the fat friend's boyfriend.
Right. Okay, so
that's what I was.
So we hate Palmer.
We hate Palmer because she's a dirty hoe.
She is a dirty hoe.
Because, dude, like, so those of you who have read or not read, don't listen anymore. But seriously, she was doing her, like, Avery's ex-boyfriend their entire relationship.
But I caught that early on.
Well, I totally thought there was something going on between them. I did not realize it was going to be the entire length of it. I thought like she was gonna be like the reason they broke up. Like
when he gave that weird thing, I didn't mean to text you that.
Well, early. That's the thing.
That was for Palmer.
Well, yeah. Yes, we know that now. But
I guessed it in the beginning.
To see the foreshadowing the second time.
Yeah, I caught it.
See, I thought that something happened, but I did not think that it was a long-term thing. I thought it was more of like a short-term thing.
Yeah.
Because Palmer like saw, like my thought was like Palmer saw that she was happy. And so she was like, well, that can't happen. So I'm going to hone in. And that's why the relationship fell apart.
But I will say, as a fat girl, sometimes you are desperate for friends and desperate for pretty friends. And you know what? She probably knew, like in the back of her mind, if she goes back and looks at things, I cannot tell you the number of friends, and I air quote that I had through college and high school that slept with my boyfriends.
Yeah.
So Palmer got me a little riled up. So go on, Leah. What else bothered you in that last 20%?
Honestly, just a lot of it.
Keep going. Like, listing it.
Well, like the whole like fact that like, so they're at this party and this cast girl, like, and I think part of it too is like, so the whole like maybe threesome thing happened, but then he gets real pissed off about it. It's like, dude, you slept with this girl like constantly and like you're all upset about it now. But then they still don't have like a real conversation about any of that stuff after the fact.
They don't.
So it's like,
she leaves.
Well, she leaves and then she leaves the state and then like goes with Palmer and then finds out that Palmer's been shtupping her boyfriend for years. And so like then she like goes back. But there's no like confrontation really, like at all. Like she does not, like there's no conversation about how, like, well, and the whole like she rode home in the Uber with Nora and then like Nora had her phone and it was just this weird. I almost think that Kay Cove got to this point and she's like, I don't know where to take the story. And so I'm just going to kind of.
Well, the Uber ride was weird and it felt like how much drama, melodrama, messiness, like.
Well, and I expected so much more from it.
Tell me you watched telenovelas and then went to commercial break without telling me you watched a telenovela and went to commercial break. Yeah. Because we don't get the resolution that you would typically expect. And, you know, in my editing brain, that would have been big red circles being like,
I need more. Like, I need more here.
What's happening here? And honestly, if Lindsay had read this book, I'm fairly certain she'd have pitched it across the room. At least
I don't
twice.
Know if Lindsay would have finished this book, to be honest.
I think she'd have finished, but it'd been in rage. I don't know. Someone text her and ask her. Yeah. Okay.
I think she said she did read it.
So what were our thoughts on, like, the resolution?
What resolution? There was no true resolution.
Do we feel like Finn, you know, that they resolved things? I think they're in...
Well, she has the breakdown about the cherry bar fish, which I thought was hilarious that the guy was like...
This is your third one.
Like, lady, this thing's been dying all summer.
I will
summer.
Say, I did feel kind of bad for her that, like, this fish was the reason she broke down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it happens. We all have that.
It happens. She was very concerned about that fish through the whole book, though.
She was, yes.
You can't tap on the glass. It upsets the fish.
But then they have sex against the glass.
And then they have sex against the glass.
They probably killed it that one time. And so he had to replace it right after that.
Probably.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the way that the book ended, because like I felt like there was just so much throughout, like through the book, and like there was no true resolution to any of it.
No. And I really needed more depth. I just needed more to hold on to, and I think I could have had it. I don't know that I would have felt that way if we had had true resolution.
Yeah.
In the end, if we had seen this, you know, kind of word salad moment of this is everything, here are my feelings, I'm, you know, and him saying, picking up the feelings, recognizing them, talking about them, like mm-hmm. true resolution.
Yeah.
You know, like grovel, you know, something that gave us that.
Yeah, because it's like just a phone call and he's like, well, when you come back, you're going to be my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, also, dude. Like, also, my life's like, falling apart, but awesome.
Yeah. there just felt like something was missing. But also, there was a point where he's like throwing hundreds out like all the time. And again, like he's supposedly this broke photographer, and she asks him about it. And again, he's like, he talks around the answer.
Well, like, he says like his grandfather owns.
Well, no. Yeah. And like, he talks about how like his trusts comes in, but he says he has this account that like his dad like puts money in. But he says he doesn't touch it. It's like, dude, clearly you're touching it, because you literally pulled multiple hundreds out of your wallet. I don't know about you, but I do not carry multiple hundreds in my wallet.
No
cash. So
I don't carry cash, but I also then look at like credit card balances sometimes.
Yeah. It's just there was a lot of unresolved little things.
Yeah,
in this
no,
book
I
that
think
bugged
so.
Me.
Okay, other woman drama, Nora, the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
I get that she was a plot device, like to move the story along, to kind of try to help show that he is a good guy, but I think that's what it was, and then it just comes off disingenuous that he just really can't say no and that he's a doormat.
Yeah.
You know, because like she calls him in the middle of the night and he has a conversation with her. He, you know.
But then he never tells Avery about it either. He never tells. That's another thing. Like these things happen and he never says anything about any of it.
Yeah. It got a little old. It was like, come on, dude. You can do better.
Like her ex-boyfriend that's now her boyfriend calls him,
right? Yeah, and she's on his phone plan, and like, I didn't need all those details, just FYI.
Yeah. it was weird. Well, but then
I mean, I could see it happening
too.
But yeah
I could too, but it just, there's enough.
There is. Okay, let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. I am curious. Sue in the YouTube chat mentions that she ended up reading the other two books in the series. I do know the one book is Lennox and the Fish Dude.
Yeah, Lennox and Dex are book two. And then some chick named Spencer and a guy named Nathan are book three.
Okay.
Don't know who they are, though.
Okay.
We must meet them in book two.
Must meet them in book two. Okay, so let's thumbs up, thumbs down, and then we'll go to book recs. So, Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs sideways. And that was where I was the first time I read it, too, because I got to the end and I'm like, I didn't feel satisfied that it was, like, resolved. And
yeah.
Leah, there's good parts. It's not so good parts.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down?
almost sideways because I there overall I enjoyed her writing style and the characters were not so bad, but there's just too many loose ends for me and
So,
not enough development on some stuff.
this is a thumbs down for me. Is K Cove completely out? Absolutely not. I will try another book, but it does look like she started writing longer and longer books, which I'm
Thank
like, I don't know. I don't understand.
you.
But I'm not gonna give up on her, because I do think that she can tell a story. She just, it's that quandary of vibes versus depth, right?
Yeah.
Like the vibes of this book are dirty, dirty talking. It's, if you want that, that's great. But I needed something to hold on to, and everything was slippery like a fish.
Yeah.
So,
There are a lot of fish in this
there's a
book.
lot of
There
fish in this
are a lot of
book.
fish. Can you
Okay.
imagine how many there will be in Dex's book because it's his fish?
If
True.
people liked this book or want other body positivity, maybe the intimacy coaching or kind of that neighborly friends to lover, what book would you recommend they try out? You're welcome to steal from my list if anybody
Well,
needs.
so you have a couple Olivia Dades, and honestly, any Olivia Dade
Oh,
would
yeah,
work
that's.
well because I mean, she does plus size, real bodied very, very well. And her stories are definitely much better structurally sound. But yeah.
So, Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood, The Roommate by Rosie Dannen, Set on You by Amy Lee, The Kiss Quotient by Helen Hong, and A Deal with the Devil by Elizabeth O'Rourke, those all are intimacy coaching. If you haven't read The Roommate by Rosie Dannen, we're going to read her fan service next month. But The Roommate, he's a sex worker, he's a porn star. That is leasing a room from her and helps her. So, and it's very well done.
Yeah, Hard and Fast by Mary Carr. That is the dating coach type of thing. And Penny is real bodied in that one. Gage is her boss.
Yeah.
That's a very good one.
Praise by Sarah Kate. If you like the praise kink, the dirty talking. That one would work. A Tropical Rebel Gets the Duke by Adriana Herrera. He also helps her with intimacy. She wants to ditch her virginity. Picture Perfect by Tessa Bailey. He helps her. She's trying to attract her brother's best friend, but also she's a D1 athlete and doesn't know how to be a girl's girl, so to speak. So he's kind of trying to help her.
Oh, that's the one you just listened to, isn't
Right. But if you cannot suspend belief in timelines, like, and you know too much about sports,
it?
particularly like
That book's not for me
schedules, that book
then. But
is
also,
not for you.
if Becky picks up on timelines of sports
Yeah.
being wrong, it's pretty bad.
Good Girl by Nikki Sloan, Beautiful Player by Christina Lauren. Those are also both intimacy coaching. The Sebastian Guarantee by Krista Sandor, also intimacy coaching and how to be sexy.
Stacy also
Yeah,
says
maybe not wear a hot dog.
Mary Warren's books would work as well.
Yeah, I think we mentioned her last episode
I think we
too.
did
I
too.
do
It's
like
hard to
Mary
keep
Warren's books.
track.
It is hard to keep track. And I think that there are certain authors that do plus size so incredibly well, and then others try. And if you're gonna do it and you aren't living in a fat body, get a sensitivity reader. That is my. Do I want
Yeah, that's
to.
what I was gonna say. It's like any other like skin, like you have a person of color. You need to have a person of color
Right.
read your
Absolutely.
book. Like, because I could
Absolutely.
not write it
You
that
know,
point of view.
and I read Tease by Melanie Harlow, and that was one that 1000% needed a better sensitivity reader. There was a girl that was a consultant on it for a plus size rep, but I think it was
Well, it
more
was
of
like those
a,
Amy Dawes ones
yeah.
too,
I
and
just
it
think
just
that
wasn't done
there's
well.
mid-size body is fine. I have, and this one did feel more mid-size body. But don't call it plus size rep if you're not, you know, truly doing the work to figure out what it's like to live in a fat body. Okay. Let's see. Did anybody else say anything?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So those are the books that we have. I will list them over on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. I'm back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the YouTube, and then in your you into your podcast feeds after. I know author Lainey Davis is coming back to join me on Sunday night. We're going to talk about The Gilded Age, HBO's The Gilded Age, and Train Daddy. She has a hyper fixation on the one male main character that series. So we will see how that goes. I am going to be binge watching The Gilded Age over the course of the next day and Anyway, you guys are all
Whatever
shaking your head.
works.
Heather might be here, I'm not sure. And then next week, we are diving into Zom Rom-Com by Olivia Dade, and that is getting us ready for our fun fall spooky cozy October reads, which
Yeah.
if you'd like to know our October lineup, it's available over on our website. I'm kind of excited for the books in October.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I have the audio for all of the I got a pre I and pre-listen or early copy listen of those
Oh, the
Amazon
Motley
stories.
ones. Yeah, I got that too.
They're so good, you guys.
Are they? I haven't
They're so
started yet.
good. And I'm excited for everybody to talk about Zom Rom-Com by Olivia Dade. It I believe, Jenny, this will feed into your quirky humor that you
Yep.
love. Like you loved At World's End, Shaun of the Dead, and all of that,
Yeah.
right? Yeah, this is gonna be your title, friend. Okay, anything else going on?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you to our Patreon members for helping us keep the podcast on the air. You are always welcome to join us over on Patreon. We have one tier at $5, and we'd love to have you. Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.